What, you want me to teach you something? You want to learn something?
You talking to me?
Just talking? Well, what's the show about?
It's about nothing.
Hello, and welcome to Much Talk About Nothing, a show about movies, music, and more. As always, I'm your host, Grant Ingram, and if you want to find us, you can do that in a number of ways, all of which are linked in the description. We're on Twitter at MTAN Podcast. We're on Instagram at Must Talk About Nothing. We have a Discord, like I said, that's linked. Our website is it's musttalkaboutnothing.wordpress.com. We don't use it much. Obviously, I can't even remember the link, but it does exist, and I think you can actually listen to episodes there if you wanted to. I'm not 100% sure on that. Somebody back me up on that. Anyway, join me today. It is my friend, my enemy, the Jar Jar Binks to my space Jesus. It is Grant Skillen. How you doing, Grant?
Me's a lot like Sam.
I hear it's rough in chorus. It gets everywhere.
Yep, it is. I'm doing pretty well. How you doing, Grant?
I'm doing fantastic. It is good to be on air. Also joining, and this actually... Grant, he might outrank you at this point. I'm not sure. It is our good friend. He's in our Discord. He said I should introduce him as a fish upside down, I believe, with something somewhere, and I don't remember, so I'm not going to assume. It is.
I mean, you can call me what you like.
Okay, Daddy. no, it is Brett Skrema. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Still doing well. It's still good to be on.
The sound at Huntington Beach is nice.
Does it get everywhere?
I mean, it's sand. So.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes. I live in Florida. I can confirm.
Yeah. Well, Brett, it's been a while since we've had you on. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
So the best part about having you back is the topic we're talking about, which is Star Wars, and specifically why Grant is awful in all of his opinions about Star Wars.
Right. He speaks in the third person there, but we know it's true. Yeah. So we're talking Star Wars. Brett and a few other members of our Discord and various places have asked me to defend my stance on The Last Jedi. And then because we are completionists and I've definitely seen all the movies, we're going to talk about the prequels. And yeah.
Bring it, my good man.
So I vote that we do it in order. So we talk prequels and then the main event of me getting knocked out by episode 9.
Yeah,
episode
he's just scared.
A little bit. So, like, what are y'all's opinions on the prequels? Brett, since you're the guest, the expert here, I'll let you go first.
I've gone back and forth on the prequels quite a bit. I used to think they were really good because they were the first Star Wars movies I saw. And then I heard everyone's opinions, everyone who hates the prequels. I heard their opinions on it. Mostly YouTube critics. They were talking about how much the prequels were terrible. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of understand that. And so for a while, I actually did not like them, except for Revenge of the Sith. That's one I thought a lot of the critiques were invalid on. Mm-hmm. But then I started to take a deeper look then into the history, and I heard some defenders such as Rick Worley or So Uncivilized, they were talking about it, and I thought, oh, okay, so they're actually pretty good. So I think they're good movies, solid.
That's not what I was expecting, to be honest.
No, me either.
The unexpected.
So I'm now expecting you to be a big Episode 9 fan.
Eight. Still messing that up.
No, I'm talking Rise of Skywalker, because I know he hates Jedi.
Both of them suck, if you want my opinion, but...
We'll get your opinion later. But, Grant, what's your opinion on the prequels?
I do not like 1 and 2. I love Episode 3, though.
Okay. I'm sort of in that same boat. I fell asleep the first 3 times I tried watching Episode 1. That movie is really, really painful, and the CGI makes me want to go punch George Lucas. I mean, that among the writing makes me want to punch George Lucas. But
specifically, the dialogue is just not good, and that continues into Attack of the Clones.
Oh, it gets worse than Attack of the Clones.
Well, I mean, if you look at what George Lucas says about his dialogue, he considers it less people talking and more the lyrics to a song. He considers his movies like these big epic poems. And it kind of makes sense, because if you were actually to turn all the dialogue off and just have the music playing,
then it's a far better movie.
No, because what he's actually going for, it really does work, because if he's doing it less as like Tarantino, he's not Quentin Tarantino, but he gets his point across, it's just in a different style.
That's fair. The problem is, you can get your point across in three different ways. You can flower it up and try to make people like you. You can beat them over the head with it, or you can say it once and hope they understand. And I think George Lucas went for the between two and three there. He either beats you over the head constantly with what the idea is, or he just says it once and hopes you understand it. He doesn't ever really flower anything.
I mean, he never did that in the first place, so it's keeping with the style of the franchise.
That's fair, but somehow it worked better in 4, 5, and 6.
Debatable.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here for. You want to debate it?
Sure, give me an example of bad dialogue. I'll try to explain it away.
We're going to go with the sand line. It's rough.
The sand.
It's coarse.
I was surprised when I listened to it. I don't like sand. It's coarse, and it's rough, and it's irritating.
I thought
it starts with coarse, not rough.
Ah, darn. It's coarse, rough, and irritating. Yeah. Like, why is that a line? Why are we wasting space on Anakin's disdain for sand?
I mean, if it wasn't there, we'd be like, oh, why are they in love with each other? That came out of nowhere. And honestly, it's not that bad a piece of dialogue.
No, it's just, it doesn't really have much of a place, I don't think. Like,
I mean, if you look at like textbook dialogue writing, then it's actually not bad, because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to talk about one idea and then use that as a segue into another idea. It's a way you can turn casual talk into important conversations within stories.
Okay. I guess, but I'm also trying to understand why the casual talk started about a hatred for sand, because it irritates you when it gets in your swimsuit and chafes your crotch. I don't understand.
So I have a line I want to hear Brett try to defend. I don't know if he can, but it's Padme towards the beginning of Attack of the Clones, and she says, "You'll always be that little boy on Tatooine," and then she marries him and has his children.
Well, at that moment, I mean, she's not into him, but he's into her.
Oh no, she was hard into him by the end of the first movie.
Well, by the he's 9 years old. She still smiles at him like he's more of a little kid.
Yeah, but at the end of the movie, I'm pretty sure, and it was either at the beginning of or end of one or toward the beginning of two, Anakin tries to give her something to remember him by, and she says she doesn't need anything to remember him by because she'll remember him.
Yes, he's a special kid.
Hold on, let me.
The prequels are less space cowboy and more space pedophile.
Not really. I mean, she's 14 at that moment, so that's not really. Anyway, but the prequels actually reference old westerns by filmmakers like Sergio Leone more times than you see it in the original trilogy, or the second trilogy, if we're being correct. But you can see it in homages to gunfight at OK Corral in the duel of Grievous versus Obi-Wan Kenobi, or you can find it in Attack of the Clones when he's leaning over the cliff looking for his mother, like in The Searchers. So it's actually, the references they use are actually pretty smart, I think.
That's fair. I definitely noticed. I mean, it works. The setting, especially of Phantom Menace, works better because it's kind of that desert anyway. And I can definitely see those. That's not something I'd really thought about before. Huh.
Well, there you go.
This is wrinkling my brain.
Yeah. All right. So, do you like Jar Jar as a character, Brett?
Well, I didn't used to, but he's actually supposed to serve a very specific purpose. He's I'm actually going to quote a critic, Rick Wally. He says, Jar Jar is a proxy character for kids. He covers his eyes when he gets scared and he's confused and overwhelmed by the big events around him. Like a child would be. I mean, that's pretty smart you think about how The Phantom Menace is technically supposed to be the first movie in the Star Wars franchise. It's for kids, and then they gradually get darker and darker. It's growing up with your audience. It's kind of the same idea they had in the Clone Wars, where they started out more innocent and then they gradually got darker and darker until you have extreme violence and such.
That's fair. Clone Wars is just one of those shows, though, that it was tough for me to notice as I was watching through it that it was getting darker, because it started out fairly heavy. I mean, what, like 15 episodes in, we already have a genocide of some Lermans on our hands. They almost killed Herman. it was dark. So why do you think that the people that dislike the first two episodes are wrong? Like, what do you think is their redeeming quality?
Well, honestly, the plot is very good. The only really valid criticism I could find, and even that's debatable, is the dialogue. But that bad dialogue doesn't really make a bad movie. But a lot of the stuff... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes it hard to watch sometimes.
Well, yes, but you get it in a certain style. It's the same for the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. They're very corny and over the top, but that's just because they're basing it off of the style from the 60s comics that the stories are based off.
Fair. Anyway, I cut you off. You can keep going.
What was that? Oh. So, yeah, I mean, the bad dialogue, but, I mean, even that's debatable depending on the style you want. But most of the criticisms I found from the YouTube critics was more or less, this is something that does not work, and more, well, I don't really like this. Why is it in here? And that's the thing. They would ask why, and they would never really go deep and try to find out why. It's kind of what George Lucas said when he was doing an interview. Someone asked him if any of the criticisms he thought were valid. He said, well, take it as an example. I have a house and I want to paint it white. And someone comes by and says, oh, that should be a greenhouse. He says, well, maybe, but I wanted to paint it white. Maybe it should have been a greenhouse, but I decided to paint it white.
I guess that's true, but also, if your house looks like a bird crapped on it because it's white, and it being green would make it a little nicer. I don't know if that makes sense. It makes
just the, because George makes the decision to paint it white doesn't mean that it's the right decision to paint it white.
But how is it? It doesn't mean it's the wrong decision.
No, but if it's the wrong decision because George made it doesn't mean it's not the wrong decision.
It doesn't mean it's the best decision. It may not be the worst, but there could have also been better things to do with it.
I mean, maybe, but you can say that about every single movie that's ever existed, except for maybe a select few. There's always something that can be done better in hindsight, but it's not always thought of.
That's fair. It's just kind of like responding to somebody telling like me going, you know, I think I want to do cocaine, and somebody saying, you know, you shouldn't do cocaine, and me going, well, I wanted to do cocaine, and so that was a good idea because I wanted to do it. It's just George Lucas has a bit of a snobbish atmosphere around him. I don't know. George Lucas, don't hate me. But yeah, I don't know. He's always seemed a little uptight to me.
I mean, that's a character thing. It's not really a critique of his movies.
Right, right. I'm just saying that it translates over. He tends to consider his work high art, but the work itself isn't anywhere close to high art.
Just like, well,
I mean, he doesn't just say it's high art. I mean, he explains what is happening in every scene, and it actually, if you think about what he's saying, it works most of the time.
Maybe I just need to become a bigger Star Wars fan.
Watch in your free time, watch Rick Wally or So Uncivilized. Those are YouTube channels.
Okay.
And actually, I suggest Rick Wally. I mean, minor infrequent language warning, but his video is actually very smart. And it points out all the good stuff in the prequels and how it fits together in the larger Star Wars universe.
Okay. I will give that a watch, and I'll try to link it in the description, because free advertising for people I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
I was watching a YouTube video on, I can't remember what it was about, but the guy said a quote, and I want to get your opinion on this, Brett, but the quote was, the only difference between Dooku and Qui-Gon is that Dooku lived long enough to see himself become the villain.
Very interesting quote. I mean, it's not true, because George Lucas has said that Qui-Gon is the only Jedi who could have trained Anakin and him, have him not turn to the Sith. People tend to see Qui-Gon as just this arrogant Jedi who finds Anakin and then he decides he's going to take him just because he's an asset for the Jedi to use, but he actually does care for Anakin. So I don't think if he lived, he would have become a villain, because he's supposed to be the best example of Jedi in that current time.
The point the guy was trying to make in the video is that Qui-Gon got a lot of his views from Dooku in terms of how the Jedi Order needed to be reformed, and that's ultimately why Dooku left, is because he felt they had become too much just like figureheads and less about actually being what Jedi are supposed to be. And how Qui-Gon may have ended up getting to that point as well. I don't know if he would have gone to the dark side like Dooku did, but I think at the very least he could have left the Order at some point.
Gray Jedi type thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't put on the council, is because he was kind of an exile.
I guess that would make sense. At least he was granted the title of Master.
Yes, he was.
So one thing that was really weird in Attack of the Clones is the Anakin and Dooku dueling scene. There's probably about a minute stretch where all they're doing is just switching between close-ups of Anakin's face and Dooku's face during a duel. And I'm like, what is the point of these shots? It's so bad.
It's like the guy that did King's Speech, Tom Hooper. He also did Les Miserables, and Les Mis has all these massive like dance scenes. And in the middle of these massive dance scenes, instead of showing them, he cuts into like actors' like noses, and you see the dancing going on in the background, but you never actually see it happen.
Considered that. Right, it's a small thing.
All right. Well, I think let's move on to a movie that we all agree on. At least it sounded like Brett agrees with Grant and I that Revenge of the Sith is amazing.
It is fantastic.
It really is, yes.
All of my issues with dialogue and writing are out of the window in Revenge of the Sith. Action is incredible. The choreography for all of the fight scenes in all of the prequels, that's one thing that's great, is just the choreography is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because George Lucas didn't write that.
Pretty much all of the prequels.
Yeah, but he didn't. Did he do the choreography?
No, he didn't do the choreography. But I mean, he didn't write choreography either.
That's what I'm saying. It was good because he didn't touch it.
He didn't touch Revenge of the Sith.
Right, but the choreography specifically. I don't know. I guess. I've always thought of George Lucas as a better world builder than he was a writer. But Grant, I'll let you keep going with your point.
Yeah. Well, The one thing I want to highlight from Revenge of the Sith is what I think is the single quote that is like the most important quote in all of Star Wars. And that is Mace after Anakin tells him about Palpatine being the Sith Lord. And he says, if what you've told me is true, you will have gained my trust. Which goes to show that had they arrested or killed Palpatine, Anakin would have become a master. And none of this would have had to happen because Anakin would have been made a master. He would have been happy and he wouldn't have wanted to betray them.
That's a detail that if you're watching the Star Wars movies and if you think Anakin is going to be the hero of the franchise, it's a good twist, especially when Mace says that, or when he turns and becomes the Sith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, I guess, about the prequels for me. I didn't watch them in chronological order, so some of the, I guess, the surprise was lost on me.
I suppose it's compensation for the losing the I am your father twist.
Yeah. But it's so weird because if you watch them how they were made, you lose the twist for the prequels, and it's just so weird. Like, yeah, I guess,
no matter how you watch them, you get a twist, and they're both really good twists.
It's true.
I think my opinion is if you somehow don't know that Anakin becomes Darth Vader, then you should watch 4 through 6 and then 1 through 3. But because there's almost no way not to know that, you should just watch them in order.
And potentially skip 1 and 2.
Nah, those are important.
It is important to build how Anakin gets so just emotionally and psychologically the way that he is, so he ultimately becomes Vader.
That's fair. That is fair.
I actually have a note about that, which is the only purpose seems to be pushing Anakin closer to the dark side by killing his mom and then setting up his relationship with Padme, which then falls apart in episode 3 and just push him over the edge.
Right.
And that's part of what makes him a very compelling character, is because a lot of the stuff that happened to him, it was completely out of his control. So that even though he becomes this mass murderer, you can't help feeling pity for him.
I guess, yeah, but he still could have also chosen not to slaughter children.
I mean, he valued his life. I didn't agree with his actions, but I can understand why he did it.
Yeah.
Just because he had a reasoning doesn't make it right, doesn't make what he did right.
Oh, no, it's very, very wrong. But it still makes sense. It's well done.
Right. I guess that quote from Grant, though, could be applied to the entire prequel trilogy. Just because they had a reason doesn't mean it was right. But I guess when you put it that way, the prequel trilogy is really like Star Wars' version of like the Joker movie. It's just one man's descent into madness, and you just watch it slowly. But it's got lightsabers and fun colors and also kids.
It's like a better version of can't pronounce his name from Naruto, where he's twisted beyond recognition from the likable hero that we recognize.
Yeah, that happens a lot in a bunch of different things. I'm trying to think of the Robin or the, I guess, Red Hood in a sense from DC as well, but like friends to enemies, that kind of thing. I like that type of, there are other twists. I just can't think. Mysterio to villain, Spider-Man Far From Home.
I mean, that's not really a twist.
No. If you know anything about the characters, you know exactly what's going to happen, but it, for the sake of the movie, it's sort of a twist.
Kind of.
And the best part about Revenge of the Sith, the memes.
That's the best part about the prequel trilogy.
Can you go like 2 minutes in Revenge of the Sith without finding a meme?
You You can't really do that without or in any of the prequels.
I don't know why that is. Like, why is it that the prequels are all memeable and the originals and the sequels are?
They're sure? Kind of the same way you would sing a song. You often make remixes of songs. It's kind of the same principle.
Fair. I do. Now, Brad, this is I enjoy how you're just kind of sitting there, like looking down, making like these wise sage-like comments about this. I'm just sitting there, like my brain. You can like feel it in the back of your head, just kind of wrinkling. You know, that's what's going on. I'm like,
How thought-provoking and challenging. I've never thought this way before.
Exactly. And I'm in college. I should have thought this way.
I think one of the funniest videos on, or one of the funniest things I've seen is the film theory video where he talks about how Qui-Gon is breaking HIPAA, getting the blood sample from Anakin. And it's like, HIPAA's not a thing in Star Wars.
Over there
is it wrong to stab a child to take his blood without asking for permission from him or his mom, and then also lying about why he's doing it? Yes. Is that wrong? Yes, but it's not breaking HIPAA.
And what he told him was true.
What point of view?
Well, he was checking his blood.
Yeah, to make sure he was healthy. I mean, he just meant it in a different way. He was checking his midichlorian count.
Okay, this is the last thing I kind of have a problem with on the prequels. And there's a quote I wanted to share.
Hey, what movie are you guys going to see?
The Phantom Menace. It's kind of old.
And why do you want to see it?
Because we like Star Wars.
Okay. If you like Star Wars, why do you want to murder it and urinate on its grave? The prequels are terrible. I mean, seriously, wouldn't Chewbacca at some point go, "Hey, Yoda, I know that guy."
He has double lightsabers.
That's stupid. You're both stupid.
Well, why are you here to see the movie?
I'm not. I go wherever it plays to warn people. You've been warned.
But the midichlorians. What happened? Why are there midichlorians?
I assume it's to put a limit on how powerful force users can be so that they're not all just tearing down buildings like Anakin can.
Well, why not just have certain ones be stronger and less strong with the force?
Well, then you have this hole in the world building where you're like, okay, so why is this person stronger than this person? If they both have the force, why can't they do the same things?
Well, because
it becomes more arbitrary.
I guess that's true, but why not do that with the original three? Why wait 20 years until you have a 9-year-old in the sand?
I think George actually talked about back in the day when they were making the originals. I think he had actually talked about the midichlorians before. It just hadn't been part of those movies because there wasn't really a need for it then as much as the need for it in the prequels when you actually have the Jedi Order around and you have all these Jedi. So then you actually have to explain why Yoda or Mace and Anakin are stronger than others.
Well, Mace should be obvious. Just saying. Samuel L. Jackson, that's why.
I mean, it also could be that with Anakin, they didn't know he was the chosen one, so they had to check his midichlorian count. But with Luke, they know he's Anakin's son, so they don't need to check it at all. There's no need to bring him up because they know exactly who he is.
That's fair. I guess most of my complaints are just that it kind of devalues the later movies, but it's okay. Some of the later movies deserve to be devalued. Like episode.
Well, I have a joke about something that happens in The Last Jedi. I don't know if we want to start going into The Last Jedi yet, but
I was segueing to The Last Jedi.
Okay, so I have a joke. Where did I put this in my notes? Here it is. Okay, so the Force dyad between Rey and Kylo, the way that it's described is that Rey just downloads all of Kylo's training. That's how she can do everything, is because she downloads and gets all of Kylo's training from him in the same way that I downloaded the drivers for my new Wi-Fi adapter.
Yep.
It's amazing. You download a course on how to do fencing and you just become an expert fencer by having those files.
It only takes a couple of days. what was it you said last time? By she went from noob to master in like 3 days,
like a week.
Yeah, it was like a week. He was like, Monday she's doing this, Tuesday she's doing this.
If you think about it, that ability, it makes her even more of a Mary Sue than she was, because it's just this ability that pops up out of nowhere, and it's exclusive to her. And how does it even work? Do you, like, get memories, or do you multiply your midichlorian count? It really doesn't make any sense, especially since it's not even explained in the movie. You need these explanations.
I think the explanation is that because they're a dyad in the Force, she has the same midichlorian count that Kylo has. So they're equally strong in the Force. Okay. How they explain it.
Does that mean Luke is a dyad to Leia?
And so I will say, with The Last Jedi, the entire movie is not awful. The first like 2 minutes with Poe messing with Hux, that's pretty funny. Then it goes downhill from there.
Well, honestly, that's mood whiplash from the opening crawl. I mean, the opening crawl messes up in the first 3 words, or the 4 words. It paints. Okay, go ahead.
What's the goof in the first 4 words?
Oh, it says the First Order reigns. Those are the first 4 words of The Last Jedi. Which really makes no sense, because if that's so, why are they treating the explosion of Starkiller Base like it's some massive victory? If it doesn't really do much if the first thing they do is just going and to annihilate everything in their path. It's not really exclusively The Last Jedi's fault. It's also the Force Awakens, because it was never explained where the First Order came from and how they raised power, but it's still never explained in the movie. In The Last Jedi.
Yeah, we don't get that till episode 9 when they retcon the entire thing and go, huh, people like Palpatine, right?
But also they ruined the entire thing by the fact that Anakin's or Vader's sacrifice meant literally nothing because Palpatine isn't dead.
The entire trilogy, as J.J. Abrams so aptly put it, would have benefited from having a plan.
Yeah.
The only reason he stated that is because 500 other critics stated it first, and he's like, oh, that makes much more sense.
We should have planned this. Why didn't we?
Yeah. And it's really infuriating, because he acts like he did plan. When it first came out, he's like, yes, yes, we have plans. We know exactly where this is going to go. He basically lied to us, straight up.
Yeah. And then, I don't know why he didn't get to make all three of them, or why they didn't bring in a third person that wouldn't do what he did to Rian Johnson to do the ninth one. Like, it doesn't...
No, they did.
It was
Kathleen Kennedy.
They had, was it Colin Trevorrow? Is that his name that was supposed to be the director originally?
Why didn't he direct it?
I don't know what happened, but they had a different guy who was supposed to be the director, but for some reason he didn't, and then they brought JJ in.
Was that when it was going to be like Duel of the Fates?
Yeah.
Which was a much better movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do I start with The Last Jedi?
The first off, why is it good? Why is it any good if you're saying it's good, Grantee?
I don't believe it's good. I hate it with a passion. I just think that objectively, if you were to remove the problems with it, and that the problems are that it is a Star Wars movie that doesn't realize it's a Star Wars movie. It's trying to be like the first step in this massive world building exercise, but it's the eighth step in this massive world building exercise, and it disregards the previous seven. If you can set that aside, the story, and maybe not the execution, there are a couple of problems in the Red Room scene, but the story and the idea, and to an extent the execution, is the best in the trilogy, in Star Wars. The cinematography is fantastic. The action is really good, except for that Red Room scene, which had no business being there. It's just really well set up. And I think that they did a really good job with these. If the characters were straw figures that they had to build meat on and create, I think they did a fantastic job. My problem with it is that it is a Star Wars movie and the characters aren't pieces of clay. instead we end up with just random, like Luke Skywalker makes no sense. Like you can't do that to the main franchise character, but you can do that to a new character who needs to be a grizzled, ancient, like hateful person. And I think that the idea there was really good. He just didn't understand that the task was not to make a space Western. It was to make Star Wars. Hamilton, your response.
Well, I mean, first, your argument is, well, it's a good movie if we pretend it's not a sequel. In which case, I mean, no, it's not, because then you're wondering who all these characters are or why they have the motivations they have, for the few that actually have motivations, or where they came from. It just feels like an unfinished second half of a movie.
It's less that and more if we disregard that these characters are who they are in the other movies, then what he did with this one makes a lot of sense to follow up the story from 7. My main problem with it was Luke Skywalker. He really screwed up Luke Skywalker. But if you disregard that, the movie's fine.
No.
No, it's not. First off, the characters are absolute garbage. First, because let's start with the main character, Rey. Actually, no, that's not, because I already explained that. She's a terrible character. I think everyone agrees. Anyone logical anyway.
I agree.
I have a friend that's a Reylo fan.
I mean, if you're fine with twisted, abusive relationships.
Go for it, yeah.
Anyway, they said it, not me.
Anyway, keep going, Brett.
A lot of people seem to think Kylo Ren is a very good part of this movie, and that's just because of Adam Driver's amazing performance. But really, he's not that well-written of a character. He's not the worst character in the movie, but he's the worst character in the trilogy just because his personality changes every movie, and you don't really know what he wants.
Well, in his defense, it's the people writing it had no idea what they wanted to even attempt to do. They just knew they wanted billions of dollars.
Yeah. Imagine what Anakin would have been like if they had that same ideology with him.
He actually might have been written better for the first two. Because, I mean, say what you will about how badly it messed up the characters, at least they were like decent characters. Like not decent, at least they were characters. Anakin just whined.
No, he's still a very good character because you understand exactly what he wants, why he wants it, and then you understand his decisions he's making because of his motivations.
He wants Padme.
Yeah.
And he wants to be a master. And he cannot have both. And so instead he has neither.
Hold on.
No, he wants that to be a master because he thinks that it will give him access to the restricted records of the temple, and he'll find a secret on how to save Padme from his dream.
When really what he just needed to do was wait 20 years and we would get Rey, and ta-da.
Yes, because women, they bear children for 20 years before they give birth.
Yeah.
All right, well, I mentioned this comment to Grant earlier, but at the end of Phantom Menace, they're like, but which was destroyed, the master or the apprentice? The actual answer is neither of them, because Palpatine's still alive, and then Maul is still alive in Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, how are they going to know that?
They aren't, but I'm just saying it's like, you would think he would have some foresight that, you know what, Maul's not actually dead.
Considering the Force tells these Jedi everything, they know surprisingly little.
I mean, they address that in the film. But anyways, we're talking about The Last Jedi now.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, so So, where do I start? Like how Poe just single-handedly goes up and just takes out every single surface cannon on that dreadnought. And then all of the bombers get destroyed, but this one that just barely makes it over above the drop zone and barely gets them all to drop before it goes boom, boom.
Which is still stupid. First off, the bombers are made of paper. You would literally see half a TIE fighter take out three in a row. It was almost as impressive as Rey's shot. Actually, no, stretch that. It was more impressive than Rey's shot hitting three TIE fighters.
Yeah.
At least there was opposition and actual threat.
I mean, that's kind of a, like, just a staple in Star Wars movies, though. The armor doesn't do anything. It takes one hit to destroy everything. It's not like there isn't precedence for the fact that they have really inept equipment.
I mean, the only ships I see getting destroyed in one shot, apart from getting hit by the Death Star, are TIE fighters, and that's just because they don't have shields. They take them off to compensate and let them be faster than other ships.
Yeah.
But the X-Wings, they go down with the fight, and so do the snow speeders.
Yeah. I don't know. They just all seem to... It seems like they get the flimsiest equipment to send into space with people in them. Like, you start to wonder how these things survive re-entry.
Honestly, I'm just wondering why those bombers didn't have shields. That could have helped so much, and we actually would have seen shields in action in the movies.
Yeah. Do we never see shields in action in the movies?
I know, but we do, but it's only in on big flagships or what else? No, it's basically just big flagships and in the Clone Wars.
Okay, I didn't realize that. It's not something I'd ever really thought about. Maybe I'm not as big of a fan.
All right, so next thing is, I'll wait for Leia, but the whole Rose and Finn story with Cantabite, it spends like 30 minutes of this movie for a completely pointless thing.
But longer than that.
Yeah.
Like, it literally is pointless because they go to get this guy to go into the Death Star or the thingy to make it so they can't track them, and it doesn't even matter. They get captured, they still track them anyways, kill almost all of them. It's just completely pointless.
Yeah. That's what you can say about most of the movie. It's just that was absolutely pointless. It served no purpose. And it actually, some things, they contradict each other so well that you've got to wonder if he was intentionally writing these things to be terrible.
You say the same thing about 9. It just contradicts the other two.
I mean, but 9 was intentional. It was obviously intentional. Yeah. It worked. It was somewhat enjoyable to watch until it just became painful.
It was enjoyable, no, as in I enjoyed JJ flipping Rian Johnson metaphorical bird, but it's an almost equally terrible movie, but it's good in a sense because I hated Last Jedi so much. I don't care that Rise of Skywalker is bad because it just tries to take away stuff that happened.
It's basically just standing up to the most narcissistic movie in the history of cinema.
By being the most narcissistic movie in the history of cinema. It's, yep. Like, it's trying to figure out who could be the worst movie and proving that it was worse, but somehow more enjoyable.
Exactly.
I want to say that neither of them were enjoyable.
Yeah, 9 was really bad.
Yeah. So the whole Finn and Rose story could have been avoided if Holdo had just told Poe the plan. He would have been like, okay, that's a pretty solid plan. Let's not send these people so then they don't get captured. Then they probably do get away. Because the only reason they find out that what they're doing is because whatever the guy's name is like, hey, look, use your eyes.
Honestly, I think 70% of this film's problems just arise from the question, why did Holder not tell Poe the plan? And that's never really given a good reason. Because he's a hothead? Well, he was right. He literally saved your entire fleet. If he didn't destroy that dreadnought, you would be dead. Show some gratitude.
You've got Oscar Isaac. At least, like, use him, Hodo. Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of it that is just an idiot plot. If the characters weren't just morons, we would be fine. But I think at the core of it, it tries. And I think it takes a bigger swing than any other Star Wars movie's ever done.
Yeah, that's, and it misses worse.
Taking big swings is not an excuse. If you don't actually do what you're supposed to be doing, then it's not any good. I mean, if you're doing it with experimental films, that's totally fine. But if you're doing it with films that are actually supposed to have a coherent plot, then you need to give it a coherent plot.
That's fair.
All right, so moving on. Unless you have something you want to say, Grant, because I want to get to another scene.
No, we're going to keep moving.
I actually did want to mention Canto Bight, how hypocritical that entire subplot is. First off, it's so self-indulgently long. It makes no sense because when Rose, she's lecturing Finn about slavery when he was actually a child slave. And he was forced to fight for the First Order. But it destroys itself later when Rose says, it's not about what... Hold on. Let me try to do the voice. It's not about what saving or destroying what you hate. It's about saving what you love. Which, that destroys the previous scene because she gleefully and loves to tear down the casino, which, by the way, the child slaves would have to clean up later. So she literally made nothing better. She just destroyed these children. And we realize that all before she sexually assaults Finn without his permission. I don't know why people consider Padme and Anakin to be creepy. She attacks him.
That's fair, but it also sets up a bunch of stuff right there that never pays off, like the Jedi with the broomstick. There's got to be something there, but we were too busy flipping Rian Johnson off in 9 to pay it off.
But honestly, pretty much everything that was in the Canto Bight scene is never addressed ever in the rest of the franchise.
As it should.
Well, honestly, you can take bad things and then turn it into, or like, make good things later. Like Creed 2, it acknowledges Rocky 4, but it's still a really good way of acknowledging it.
Yeah,
so like, you can do stuff.
You can subtly retcon things too, but the problem is, Episode 9 tried to pretend that Episode 8 just didn't happen, and it does. That's what killed it.
And honestly, you can. It kind of does exclude Episode 8, because if you can just convince yourself that both Luke and Snoke had heart attacks between 7 and 9, The Last Jedi never happened.
That's fair. I mean, it works, but why?
Only thing I can think of is, how did Rey come into possession of all the books from the temple? That's the only thing I can think of that you would have to explain is happening.
Honestly, if people didn't even care that the First Order Rising was a huge world-building hole in and of itself, they wouldn't really notice the books. They'd just be like, oh, look, she has books. Okay. Why wouldn't she have books?
She's a Mary Sue. She, for all we know, she might be from Hogwarts. Okay. That actually would have made the sequel trilogy better. Had they been Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, it was a Ray.
I mean, they basically did Harry Potter as the sequel trilogy. It's the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Ray Potter.
With like a golden wand for whatever the reason.
And no scar. She would have no scar.
No scar. None.
The girl who should have died.
I hate the sequel trilogy with a passion. It's just bad. Yeah. And it's not that they're, like, even for me as a passive Star Wars fan, they're not just bad. Like, they're just, like, except for 8, they're bad movies. I mean,
7 is a better movie than 8.
It's a retelling. It's like a It's like, what if instead of what if episode four was good, it's what if episode four was just slightly mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah, and episode eight is worse than just slightly mediocre.
But it's at least new.
I mean,
that doesn't mean it's good.
I mean, it's not. It's not new because it just recycles ideas from Empire Strikes Back and a bit of Return of the Jedi. I mean, it starts with the same premise. Okay, the good guys are in retreat and the bad guys are coming after them. Except this time, we have no reason to believe the bad guys have control over the entire galaxy. And we also have no reason to believe that the good guys are in a bad position because they did nothing but win in the previous movie.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
With the exception of the demolition of the Republic, I mean, all the good guys ever did in that movie was a win. Especially Rey.
Yeah, Rey never... Yeah, that's fair. That's the thing that, to me, makes Seven a bad movie. It sets up for a sequel, but it sets up for a sequel in a good spot. Like, there's no reason to watch a sequel. You're better off, actually, just considering Seven a standalone.
Like, but that's only because of the crap that came after it.
Well, no. If you did convince yourself that Snoke was just this giant golem that was sitting in a throne room and he got blown up with the rest of the planet, then yeah, I mean, the good guys win. The bad guys are all gone.
And Snoke eventually just ends up being pointless anyway, so why not?
Yeah, that's another thing that's really terrible about The Last Jedi is they just chuck him aside like he's some insignificant character, which if he is, he should not have been in the movie in the first place. But
I disagree. I think what The Last Jedi did with him makes sense if you're going to do anything with any sort of villainy afterwards. The problem is it left a power gap, because what should have happened is after 8, Kylo should have been the villain. That should have been the idea. That would have made the trilogy really good. It would have made 8 work.
That's how it should be, because that's always how the Sith have worked. The master trains the apprentice, and then the apprentice kills the master and becomes the master of another apprentice.
Well, what could have happened, because the characters basically had no other direction to go, is they could have switched sides with Kylo Ren becoming Ben Solo again and joining the light side. And Rey, because she found nothing in the light side, just decides to go to the dark. That would have been a good twist.
It would have been a good twist, but it's like a twist for twist's sake. There's no real motivation for that for Rey.
Well, there is, because if she believed that the dark side was the key to finding her parents or finding out who her parents really were, then it would have worked. And especially since she goes looking for the dark side in the first place, can I just mention that the pull to the dark side for Rey is much stronger in this movie than it is in The Rise of Skywalker.
It's basically non-existent in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, because only bad things happen when she uses it, so why should she want to join it? Blackmail? Lazy.
Yeah, that's true. I guess what I'm saying is it would have been better as a trilogy. I would hate The Last Jedi as a Star Wars movie less if they hadn't completely crapped on it and they'd taken the idea that, hey, we've killed the master. It's time for the apprentice to become the master. He gets to be Vader. He gets what he wants. And we do that instead of, oh, crap, we killed the bad guy. We've got to come up with something for the 9th movie.
And honestly, I don't think Kylo Ren would have made that good of a villain, because up to that point, he did nothing but have his bottom handed to him over and over again by Rey. So if Rey became the villain, then it actually would have been intimidating, because all she's ever done up to this point is win.
Well, maybe he gets mad because she won't join him and becomes more powerful.
That also could have been really good. I mean, anything would have been better than what we got, because all we did was return to the status quo.
Exactly.
All we did is undermine the entire story.
Yeah, that's the thing. Each movie crapped on the last one, and it works from 7 to 8. It can. What? Now, Luke, no. But you can crap on Snoke, and Snoke work. You can't crap on the 3 main characters of your franchise each consecutive movie and be like, you know what? This is a good story.
Well, that's not even the thing. Episode 9 just craps on the entire franchise, because the whole story of Anakin is useless if Palpatine doesn't die.
The two most convincing pieces of evidence that Star Wars has just become Kathleen Kennedy's new mouthpiece for her female-driven politics, then it would be Holdo and retconning the entire franchise for the sake of making The Chosen want to go.
I really dislike what they did with Rey. I really do. I can see her being the hero. I can see her being... I could see her being a Skywalker somehow. I really could see her being a Kenobi.
She should have been a Kenobi.
Yeah, the Kenobi makes much more sense. I could see her being like, maybe, like, I don't...
She's a Windu.
Heck, in the comics, there was this character who was actually Vader's apprentice. Her name was Lumaya, and she had a romantic relationship with Luke before he met Mara Jade. So they could have even made it so that she was actually Luke's daughter, and he had a legitimate fear of her turning to the dark side because her mother would have been Vader's apprentice. And she later in the books comes back to haunt everyone.
That would have been perfect because...
Anything other than what we got.
Yeah, no, literally anything. Like I said, I could see her being a Skywalker and like actually being a Skywalker. I could see her being a Palpatine and it working. The problem is they wanted her to be a Skywalker, but they made her a Palpatine and then were like, it's female empowerment. When she's like, you know what? I'm not a Palpatine anymore. I am a Skywalker.
And what? I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but that actually defeats the entire purpose of the movie where all the time they've been saying, oh, don't be afraid of who you are. Don't be afraid of him. It doesn't matter where you come from. And she's like, no, I'm going to just get rid of my family name and go with these people I knew for a couple of days. Or I guess, I mean, why didn't she name herself after Leia? Leia or Rey Organa? Because she actually had a relationship with her. She knew Luke for like 2 days. Or a week, maybe.
Well, but I mean, they're related, so I guess it's not like I always think of Leia as a Skywalker too. Like, I know she's not, but like, she is in the sense that
she is a Skywalker. She just has the last name of, is it Gale? The guy from
Gale Organa.
Yeah, she is a Skywalker.
Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like that makes sense. But I don't understand why she renamed herself and why, if they wanted so badly for her to be that, why they didn't just make her that. Because it's not like somebody had like accidentally established a canonical story and been like, oh, well, we really wish she was a Skywalker and we need to change that now. It was, oh, we're gonna step back. We know that there was a story established. We're going to take a crap on that. And then we're going to change the story, but we don't like the way we changed the story. So let's change it again. One movie. Let's change it 3 times.
Well, honestly, take this example. What if she was related to both Luke and Palpatine? But say Palpatine cloned himself and his clone somehow ended up being a girl, like, say, Logan for X-24 or X-23.
Say Sylvie and Loki kind of thing.
No, it's more like Wolverine.
Okay.
You know how in Logan they clone Wolverine and his clone turns out to be a girl?
Right.
It could have been that way. So Luke marries this clone, and then they have Rey, who is both a Palpatine and a Skywalker, and it could have been about her deciding to choose between which family she was going to be more like.
Or heck, Rey Palpatine.
Heck, if you really wanted to do it, and you didn't want to do like some weird cloning thing, I know they did, but you can make it so Han Solo was a Palpatine, and he was just dropped off, and we could retcon Han's. We could retcon, if we're retconning things, let's retcon the coolest character in film history, and let's make him a Palpatine, and then Rey's just Leia and Han's daughter, and Ben's her brother, and let's make this whole thing a giant incest story.
Honestly, almost anything would be better than what we got, because what we got was basically just these nerds going through a D&D campaign, and one of them decides to give themselves the most overpowered character in the history of D&D, and one of them just decides to be this emotional roller coaster. Speaking, of course, of Finn, he decides, I'm going to be this defect from a corrupt empire, but then I'm going to be this quipping goofball that just goes around and follows the overpowered character because she's overpowered.
Then I'm going to be the most overhyped and underwhelming character since, like,
Mace Fan Windu. Had so much potential. It seemed like after the first movie, they wanted to make him into, like, he had the Force and he was going to become a Jedi. And then Ryan was like, nah.
And then JJ came back and was like, let's nah again. It was like it was the one thing they agreed on was that Finn shouldn't matter.
The only thing that somewhat suggests you have the Force is a nine, and he was like, I have a feeling.
Well, also, pretty much everything in episode 7, where he first decides to defect, it had a Force type of feel to it when his friend wipes the blood on his helmet.
Yeah.
And honestly, he should have just been the main character of the franchise.
Would have been better.
The trilogy.
Hey, I'm fine with, I'm not opposed to, like, Rey being a girl and being the main character. It doesn't bother me.
She doesn't do
crap. She just needs to not suck.
Yeah, there's a clear misunderstanding that we don't like Rey because she's a female. It's not that. It's that she doesn't do anything.
She's a Mary Lou.
Yeah, she's a Mary Sue.
she's a Mary Lou.
Like,
she's
Anakin,
such a Mary Sue.
Anakin works from when he's 9 up until, I don't know how old he is in Revenge of the Sith, but he's working and training to become a Jedi. Okay, it's like 13 years. He's working and training to become a Jedi. Luke takes the time to go train with Yoda. I think they explained it was like 6 months he's training with Yoda or whatever. Rey just downloads all that crap from Kylo. Speed runs it.
And honestly, with Luke, it's even more time than that. I mean, he goes and trains with Yoda and Empire for a period of several months.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and loses his first fight. And then after that, he trains for about 2 years before going to Jabba's palace and completing his training right after that. With Rey, she doesn't train at all. She doesn't receive any kind of legitimate guidance. She just finds out the Force exists and decides that she's going to be an expert on. It's kind of like if they took that one line in The Avengers about how Tony Stark becomes an expert in whatever it was. I want to say quantum physics, but that wasn't introduced yet. He just reads a book overnight and becomes an expert. And they decided to turn that into a whole trilogy.
Yeah, that's literally it.
I don't know if we have time to get into how awful the throne room scene is,
but it sucks.
Yeah, the fact that Leia apparently has powers, has the Force.
But so it's not their fault they didn't pay that off.
Honestly, I'm not even disappointed that Leia has Force powers, because that's how she was in the books, which are much better. Read the books.
But no longer canon.
Yes, no longer canon, because Kathleen Kennedy is both lazy and hardworkingly lazy at the same time.
Right.
But the fact that it was never brought up, mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of alluded to when Han dies, she feels it in the Force, but that's it. That's all we ever get.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns out she's trained with Luke, and apparently she's more powerful than Luke.
Well, yes, we get one more example. It's when she's Mary freaking Poppins. And Last Jedi.
Well, yes, but that's just, you go from, hey, look, this might be a possibility, to, and now we're going to change the world.
It turns out she's this, like, fully trained, like, where did this come from?
Exactly.
And honestly, in the books, she never really completed her training. She kept her lightsaber, but she became a politician who happened to be able to use the Force. She wasn't a Jedi Knight or anything.
Yeah, and I you can't blame them for not paying that off. It's not their fault she died. But at the same time, the way they chose to do it made less sense. My biggest thing is, because we knew what happened to Carrie Fisher before 8 came out. They could have fixed the entire situation by just not having her marry Poppins. Just leaving her. And then you can not kill off Luke. Now you'd have to reshoot it. You'd have to delay the move. But you cannot kill off Luke.
Yes.
But part of it is they just didn't understand Luke anyways.
Yeah.
Oh no, he understood Luke perfectly well. He just decided to change. Actually, no, he doesn't understand Luke at all. He just changed it anyway. Mm-hmm. He didn't take the time to understand.
He didn't watch the movies.
Honestly, you hear him talking about the other movies, and I'm just like, you don't understand anything.
He's one of those people that likes the prequels.
No, I'm actually kind of proud of him that he mentioned the sequel or the prequels in The Last Jedi, because it's the only mention we get in the entire trilogy, apart from some characters being in Rey's head at the end, but we don't talk about that.
I want to clarify, my issue with Leia isn't that she has the Force, it's just that we don't really know that she does until all of a sudden it's like, oh, she can float through space now.
Exactly, that's my whole thing. They should have set it up better.
If she had even done anything with the Force in Episode 7, it's like, okay, cool, she has the Force, that's understandable, she's Anakin's daughter.
Even if she doesn't, you've got to give some sort of indication. Like, if this is the first thing we see her do, great surprise, but there's got to be something, or she has to continue using the Force. She can't just use it and be done.
Yeah, honestly, that's a big thing. The straw man is, you don't like women using the Force. Like, no, we like Ahsoka, and we like all the other female characters who are awesome in the original movies. Our problem is, either you are having them use the Force too much with no training, or you're giving them training and they're not using the Force really at all, unless it's to literally pull themselves back from the grave.
Unless it's plot convenience, and they're apparently the only people on the planet that have trouble breathing in space, because we saw the Last Jedi hangar scene where they're all sitting there like as they're bombing and the bomb chambers are open, and you're like, you're dead. You have to be.
Yes.
Yeah, and Grant's the one that calls me an Ahsoka simp, if that says anything.
I don't dislike Ahsoka. I dislike her in The Mandalorian, but that's a different point.
Well, yes, because The Mandalorian is the most overrated part of Star Wars, and it's even more overrated than Episode 8 or 9, because everyone disagrees on those two movies, but almost everyone is like, oh, The Mandalorian is the greatest thing since Empire. When it's really just competent.
I love, Star Wars hasn't been competent since,
The Mandalorian is the best Star Wars we've gotten in a long time, besides Clone Wars.
I love The Mandalorian. I just don't like Ahsoka in The Mandalorian. They messed with her look and, like, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't like, I was not an Ahsoka fan from Mando. Go ahead. This will be our closing topic. What do you got?
It's a bit of a tangent, but The Mandalorian, for me, is just proof that the sequels were so terribly bad that anything they gave us that was a little bit better was totally fine with us, as long as it didn't destroy the universe.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just really enjoy it. I'm looking forward to Boba.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well.
I am too.
Hey, we all agree on something, and this is where we're going to end it. Grant, do you want to do the outro?
I don't remember the outro.
All right, so you know where to find us. Places in the description. Please follow us on Twitter. Please follow us on Instagram, and actually like our stuff. We're having some hard time getting things out. We've been doing some cool stuff lately. We're planning on doing kind of a revamp, maybe some segment stuff coming up. You'll hear that shortly. We're trying to write a new intro. That's something I'm working on, so hopefully we'll get something out soon. Brett, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to promote before we sign off?
Sure. I'm actually still working on the independent Star Wars fan film. And in fact, if you join the sub-Discord for Much Talk About Nothing, then I will be there and you can ask me about it privately. And I'm looking for a co-writer and editors and especially special effects artists.
Nice. So,
there we go.
Yeah, definitely join our Discord and definitely check him out. He's a cool dude, and you're like the only active person left. But thank you so much for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. Just whenever you want to come on and diss me, you're more than welcome.
This is my show now.
Skillin, it's over, goodbye. Anakin. I have the high ground.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That laugh turned into a Joker laugh. Anyway, for Grant and Brett, I have been Grant, and we will catch you on the next episode.
The Last Jedi is an abomination.
Dun, dun, dun.